Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm just fabulous. What's new in your life? Anything interesting happened in the past 24 hours?
No, nothing at all. No. Just normal times.
Just another day in New York City.
I did save my white jean pants for the wrong day. It should have been summer house.
Well, we're still talking about Southern hospitality later, which that's is true. You know, it's all good. And I'm actually wearing a very summer house.
Oh, actually,
shirt.
I opened Southern hospitality notes. I guess I'm on the wrong page today.
I'm wearing a J. Crew. You can't really see it on camera. It's like a green and white, sort of like seafoam and white kind of shirt. It's very
summer.
We are
pretty matchy today. Yeah, we are.
We're summer and we're breezy as here usual. In the city. A huge, massive thank you to everyone who came to our cabaret last night, the debut of Forbidden Housewives.
It was so fun.
You guys were a great audience. You made us feel so comfortable on stage there. Even when we were goofing, it made the goofs all the more fun. Like, we were just laughing all the way through that entire show.
Yeah, it was a good time. So thanks everybody for coming. We have two more on Friday. You can stream them both, and once you buy the tickets, they're only available till showtime. Once you buy them, you can watch them for a whole week. So get them at watchwhatcrappens.com or Instagram link in bio. There's like a big chat room and party in there that was going on. It was really fun too. So go do it. It's fun.
Once it's done, it's done. We're not recording it. It's not going on our feed. It's a once
we'll
and
might,
done.
We might sell it somewhere else, like on our Patreon or something. But
But like, it's not going on our.
But this, like, the live stream is available for a week. It's not going to be like a free episode or whatever. Yeah. So, welcome to the show. Today is the Valley. Dun, 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 dun. Oh my God! Somebody stole my monster refrigerator.
I know.
I thought, is that a big refrigerator? He literally had a monster branded. Yeah. Zach, I sometimes wonder what kind of gay is that? Like, is it a generational gay?
That's a me
is this
gay.
Like a new kind of Zach gay?
Zach and I are very similar. Like, Zach and I.
You would
like,
have a monster.
No, I would
monster
never.
Monster drink
never.
Fridge in your house that you cry over, and a denim suit with diamonds all over it.
No, it's not so much that I would never have that fridge. First and foremost, but I think the reason why I say Zach and I are very much the same type of gay is that if I received, I think especially at his age, although I guess he's like in his mid-30s now, but especially like when I was like probably like 28, 31, whenever, if I received something for free, it was like in my apartment and displayed prominently and part of my identity. So it's like, oh, he got like a free monster fridge, which is
so you can
thing.
Be like, I got this.
I'm like, well, I got it. It was free.
I know the people at Monster.
It wouldn't even be a flex. It'll just be like, I got this free thing. And isn't it cool? I got something for free. I'm having it. I'm using it. Like, and this is my thing. Like, I'm so proud I got this free thing. Like, it was like an accomplishment that I somehow got something for free. And so I totally get that. I mean, the amount of random, like, branded tchotchkes I got, when I was
for
younger
TV-gasms,
that were not, even just like B-side blog that were not even, they weren't Monster energy drink. Cause I honestly like hate energy drinks, but, so I would never like, I
stick with cocaine.
See, coffee. No, I just don't like the flavors. It's all very fruity. Like Red Bull makes me like, I just don't like the smell. I'm like weird with like fruity smells.
Well, also, all you need is one drunken night on Red Bull vodkas and barfing that up to never want to drink.
Yeah.
That again.
Like, I think it's really gross. Anyway,
I'm sure you know where I'm coming from, Danny.
Like, I've gone to like, how many times? Like, I went to like E3 several times, and you always come back with all these stupid like video game tchotchkes. And like, I got some stupid poster and I put it in a frame. I was like, I got a free poster. So I framed it. You know, it's like, so like, Zach and I are like, I don't know. I guess maybe we're like scarcity gays where it's like, oh, I got something for free. Got to hold on to it.
Yeah. I mean, I can see that.
You know?
Yeah, I can
like,
see that.
We're not taste gays.
Not taste gays. Okay.
Like,
yeah.
There's some gays were like,
that's kind of what I was getting at. But I didn't, when you said I'm a gay like Zach, I didn't want to say like tasteless trash.
No, like there's
or
some
garbage, like, you know, or anything like that.
I think most gays, I think the majority of, you know, gays were not monolith. But I would say a large number of us can see items like you, like
we're
your house, but your house, for instance, your house in LA, both houses, but especially your one in LA is just like so well appointed, such a like great eye for design. And like, I am not a taste gay. I used to say I'm not a fashion gay, but I think I may just not be a taste gay in general, because I would be like, oh, you know, it'd be great right here. It would be like my tote bag from Orbitz or something like that, you know, and hanging it. And it's like, not my everything
tote bag from Orbitz.
You know, not everything needs to be like swag.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that, you know, but I was like, wow, this is not your typical gay, like crying over a monster fridge and then wearing that denim suit. I mean, I guess you would think the denim suit with the diamonds all over it would be gay.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a,
I will say,
but
this,
it's more like an old Maxine in a, you know, in the Burbank mall.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
The crying over
offense,
the monster fridge.
Love the guy.
The monster fridge was objectively hideous. And the thing is, it's like, that's like crying over like an Affliction t-shirt that you had like draped over a sofa. It's like, really, that's the thing you're going to cry over? Like, it's just, even I, as not really being a taste gay, would really just never have any like energy drink sort of logos in my apartment. And I am happy that now, as I've gotten older, I think I've become a standards gay. And I just feel like I have to have a certain standard. So like, I may not totally know how to put things together, but I have a certain standard of what I want, you know?
Like in general, like with like taste, what do you mean standard? Like,
well, meaning
price?
That, like, I think that like, no, meaning that like if you are going to get something for free and display it, it has to be of a certain standard. Like it can't be.
That could be on your Instagram.
It can't be.
Who knows when you'll be doing content in the house?
It can't be a monster.
You'll just be giving
fridge.
Free shit to monster.
Yeah. It would have to be like something cute and like fun. Like we're recording right now in Soho. And everything around here is so bougie and cute. And so, like, if it was like a brand I saw downstairs, I'd be like, that could be the fridge. I'll do a J. Crew fridge.
I'll do a J. Crew fridge. I love that that's your fancy. I love that that's your idea of fancy. Yeah. Like J. Crew. I would have their fridge.
Well, compared to Monster. I mean,
compared to Monster. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that was that. Let's get into it. So The Valley, season 3, episode 10, Red Flags and White Claws. Still a big medical episode. We've got what's his buns and his knee. Jason's knee.
Yeah.
Super exciting stuff.
Wounded knee.
It's ER if ER was just pronounced dot dot dot. It's ER dot dot dot.
Yeah,
capital E, small r, dot dot dot. And then
Luke and Zach
and Brittany getting her mommy makeover, her everything makeover. My friend hadn't seen the show. My best friend was spending the night last night, and she has never seen this show. So she watched Vanderpump Rules, and she was like, "Who is that?" So what do you mean, who is it? She's like, "That's Brittany." I said, "Yeah." She goes, "What happened to Brittany?" I said, "A lot." A lot has happened to Brittany. Okay, sit down. Let me tell you a little story.
Yeah, it's been a journey. We see just clips of people doing things around town.
It's just not a compliment. Like, who do you want? You walk into a place like, that's Ronnie? What happened to Ronnie?
You know, Britneys have a tough go at it in pop culture, I think, across the board. If we were to look at all the Britneys that we know in pop culture, it has not been great for them. I'm going to say, tell me a Britney in pop culture. Britney's
really don't win in pop culture. You're right. Yeah. Britney Murphy, ghost killed her in her house.
Yeah.
Britney, regular Britney. God knows she's back in the somewhere now.
DUI.
Right? DUI.
She's had a DUI.
And then
we have this Britney. We have Britney Bateman.
Britney
Snow just even had something bad happen, right? Like, didn't Britney Snow just have something bad happen, like a bad headline for her like a week ago?
Which one's Britney Snow? What was she?
She was in Pitch Perfect.
Love that movie, the first one.
Britney Snow was in the news because
I had to specify the first one because I tried with that the other one.
I think Britney Snow was in. Am I just dragging her into this mess?
Yeah, with Britney Snow. I don't know. I didn't hear anything about Britney Snow.
I thought there was a headline. I could have sworn I saw Britney Snow headline. There's also Britney. There's another Britney out there that's not think something bad happened to her. So yeah, it's rough.
It's not a good name to have.
Yeah.
So sorry, Britney. Sorry to our producer Britney today.
In
just
pop
kidding.
Culture. In
her
pop
name's
culture.
Edie.
Yeah, her name's Edie. She's waving it. We've had, by the way, so many producers this week. It's been very exciting.
Edie, is there anybody named Brittany who works here?
Yes, there is.
Really? Is she a mess?
No, she's awesome, actually.
But she's not on pop culture.
Does she have a lot of tragedy happen in her life?
She may.
See? Called it.
I'll have to let her speak on that.
She doesn't listen to this, like, Brittany.
I I'm not airing her.
That was enough. You gave us enough. We were right. That's all we needed to know.
Well, by the way, Brittany Snow had a highly publicized divorce 2 years ago from television star. So
who was the television star?
I guess someone from Selling the OC.
Oh, God. Well, you get what you deserve if you marry somebody from Selling the OC. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you expect? Seriously. Yeah,
seriously.
So, okay. So Luke and Zach are working out. Ew. Oh, and another thing my friend said watching this show, she goes, ew, who's that? I said his name is Luke. She goes, ew, Kristen married that guy. Like when she saw that he was with Kristen, she's like, ew, why did she do that?
Why does he have 2 ears? It's not Van Gogh.
So Luke is working out with Zach and they're doing, and here's another, wait, what kind of gay is Zach? I just had this big, what kind of gay is Zach night, because they're at CrossFit and Zach's like, what is this? Why would you bring me to a straight workout? CrossFit is the gayest workout you can do. That's where you see gays lifting tires over their head and throwing them at other gays.
I think CrossFit's still a pretty straight thing. I think those are gays who are visiting straight worlds in that point.
No, I've seen a lot of big unsheathed wieners at the CrossFit.
Yeah.
I mean, I lived in West Hollywood too, so maybe that's why. But there was there were girls there. Maybe they were gay. I don't know. But there were, that's a big gay thing.
I mean, there's definitely, I know a lot of gays.
Listen, any workout where they give you giant ropes and tell you to do this, like jump rope, is, come on.
Yeah, I don't know. I still think that CrossFit is going to it's going to go more on the straight side of the wavelength.
Listen, I'm a workout queen.
Yeah.
And so are you. We're both the one kind of gay we are.
I'm a contrarian queen, and I'm going to say
yeah, no kidding. You're like, you know what my working out is? Telling you you're wrong. no, but I think it is kind of gay. But you know what? That's a gay I never got into, the working out thing. And last night, you know, looking at little clips here and there of the show,
yeah,
my arms just flapping like I've got a flag that I'm waving at people.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I don't like lifting things. I don't like it.
We're learning all sorts of things. We've learned this week that I'm not a Chorus Line gay. I'm only learning the musical this week.
We're really recategorizing ourselves all week. It's a week of self-discovery for sure.
Yeah, we're just by the end of going through all these filters of what sort of gay are you, we're gonna finally have a defined,
when can we type. Stop being a type of gay and just be a type of person?
Never. That's no. I'm a categorization gay, so I'm gonna
me too. I need to label things and put them in my categories. That's how you know where they are. That's why, you know, and I say this all the time, but I don't believe in the saying don't judge a book by its cover. You wouldn't read the book without a cover.
Yeah, I'm also I don't want to be a generalist, so I really need to have some specificity. Actually, by the way,
I generalize. Yeah, I'm a generalist gay.
Well, I was gonna say, by the way, shout out to Rolling Stone, who gave us out of nowhere mention 2 days ago in an article about niche audiences. Speaking of generalists, and they were talking about how people are really leaning into being niche. So they said, you know, people are niche. Like, for instance, you know, look at reality TV fans. They're either listening to Watch What Happens or whatever else, but that was
Ben is a blurb gay.
I'm a blurb
Ben is
gay.
Really big, and also, Ben is a gay who's turned on by blurbs.
But I'm also a never remembers things exactly gay. I'm really bad at quoting things. Whenever I'm around movie quoters, which are normally the straight people, let's be honest, I never, they're always coming up with all these crazy quotes, and I'm like, how do you remember all these specific quotes from movies? Or fucking coaches.
This is how we come to the office. You'd look like a blood clot.
I know
we're not movie quoter gays. No, what we are have talking
like,
about.
No, I well because those are like
me and
there's
you
like a
must
few.
Never park.
I guess I have been quoting Jerry Maguire a lot lately.
Too. Yeah, you're a movie quoting gay too.
But to hear all those Jerry Maguire quotes were embedded in a popular song in 1997, which made it easy to learn those quotes. If they put more quotes into songs, I'd be great at it.
Request noted. I just wrote Elton. Okay, Elton John, still writing all the pop music of our time.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Now we go to Jesse Lolly's house, and he's with Isabella and Lacey. And I don't know, they're doing your hair.
That's one of those. If that's not a pitch to watch this show, I mean,
I know. So they're, she has fruit roll up in her hair, which I totally get. And
the origins of hair dents.
Jason is 4 hours post-op. Oh, it's a Jason's knee hurt scene. So we get that. And he's being really bitchy to Janet. Mm-hmm. He's being a jerk to Janet. And she doesn't like it. And the doctor warned her that after anesthesia, people are kind of dicks for 24 hours. So she's going to let him be a dick for 24 hours. But that did get me to thinking, what is this marriage like? Because there's a lot going on right now on this show with like, oh, well, they pretend their marriage is perfect, Danny and Nia, and they don't want anybody to see the cracks in their marriage. But I think the marriage that's really like that as well, because Danny and Nia are definitely like that. But I think another marriage that's like that is Janet and Jason, because you never see them argue. You never see them do anything. And Jason's always coming out like, my wife is right, you know, and he's having that whole thing. So we see the perfect side of their marriage, but we see Jason like on anesthesia. And, you know, we talk about all the time when your drunk personality comes out, that's still your personality. It's just less filtered. So when I see this side of Danny, I'm like, oh, okay. So this is the unfiltered side of Danny, and fuck that.
I don't know. I actually did not pick up. I did not get that vibe from this, believe it or not, because you know why?
It wasn't a vibe. It was the literal. He was on anesthesia and being a dick. I mean,
he was being a dick, but like, I did not feel like, oh, the facade has dropped in this marriage, because Janet was like, okay, he's being a dick and he has one more day and then he can't be a dick anymore. And I felt like, she's got it. She's
I just thought it was, control. I'm not saying their marriage sucks or anything. It's just interesting because their dynamic is always like, so,
you know,
perfect.
So what's interesting to me is that I don't feel like they are trying to sell themselves as a perfect couple and everything is great. And I think the difference with Danny and Nia is not that Danny and Nia are trying to sell themselves as everything is great. It's that like, when someone says like, Nia, what's going on? She's like, oh, well, you know, he's tired. Oh, well, like she's sort of always making these sort of sing-song excuses. And what about everyone else? And I think if you were to say, hey, Janet, Jason's being a real dick, she'd be like, yeah, I fucking know. I didn't serve mashed potatoes last night as a result. I said, that's your punishment. Whatever she would say. But like, I did not get a sense, and this is not me being any sort of Janet
apologist.
You're a
Janet stan. You've been a Janet apologist for 10 years.
But even if I were, I just don't, I watch this, I'm like, I cannot put this on the same level of Danny and Nia.
I'm not putting it on the same level. It's just the general like, you guys act like your marriage is perfect and you guys like keep everything, you keep all your problems behind closed doors. I'm just saying there are signs that this is that way too. Here's another sign. She served him a banana as a snack. What kind of couple is that?
He probably loved that. He's like a health person.
It's
like,
disgusting. He's been talking about carbs,
that's counting carbs ever since he came on the show. So he's probably like,
banana is a carb.
I know.
I say that as a CrossFit gay.
But he's like a health, but like to him, that's like the banana. To me, a banana is a healthy snack. To him, it's like, oh my God, why is she a feeder now? So I don't know. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
Listen, it's just a little thing. I'm not throwing any swords at their relationship. I'm just saying
he was being a dick.
To see more of this. I like to see less of the people faking it. Like that's why I like Danny and Nia, because everyone accuses them of being perfect, but you can see this whole time no one's been like, wow, what a perfect marriage. We're like, oh Jesus, he's forcing her to have more kids, or she's forcing it so she can get the mommy, but whatever it is. It's like, and then even this one, they're talking about having like their 17th kid. Ugh. Oh, this show's just so confusing to me in general.
So we go to Jasmine and Melissa.
I saw a woman the other day. I was at pizza with my parents and there was a lady there. We were in Texas and there was a lady there, two ladies, but I think one was a sister. This lady had six children and they were, just running amok. Because how can you control six kids? You can't. I mean, they were little, all of them little kids. It was like Danny and Nia, like one after the other. And I love kids. So I was like, that's so funny. And my mom's like, I'm going to kill him. I'll kill him. You know, she's trying to trip him from her wheelchair. I'm like, mom. But I just gave a look to the lady and she's like, oh my God, you guys, I'm so sorry. She was like horrified. I was like, I know. Why do you do this to yourself? This was the look I gave her, but I hope my eye said, why are you doing this to yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Sell them.
Yeah.
You know, go on Craigslist, list them.
Yeah,
it's too many.
Yeah, I'm sick of children, to be honest. I think we can cap them. So we're at Jasmine and Melissa's house, and Melissa is very upset because the invitations are messed up, and I wouldn't know anything about that. Were these the wedding invitations or the engagement party invitations? I'm assuming wedding invitations.
I don't know. I don't know. I think it's just, I think it's,
there was a stationary issue.
Yeah, I think it's the wedding invitations. I did our programs for our show. They're all wrong. Completely wrong. $400 of wrong.
So
thank you.
Funny. So here, wait, there's three things. So it's, I'm not going to let you take the full blame. So one of the things was I told Ronnie, I was like, hey, let's make the back of the program look like a real playbill with like these, like the dots, like, you know, going from it. And so I put like a temp thing in there and I should have just like done it. I should put the temp thing in there, but like, okay, that's how it looks. Let me do it and get it final and put it in there. And that would be done and whatever. I put the temp thing in there and I was like, okay, I'll come back to this later. So I didn't come back to it later. And then you thought it was done because the file was, so you printed it. But the thing is that since it was a temp file, there were these little squiggles on it, like the spelling.
Everybody's like, Garcelle spelled wrong, you know, like the red line under it.
Our pianist, I spelled his name wrong on it. It was just,
his name was, did you respell his name?
I fixed it for the new one.
But didn't I put his name in there?
Yeah. But
did you change the spelling?
You put his name in as Brandon James. And I remember I was like, no, it's Brandon James Gwynn.
Oh,
Gwyn. And then I put in, I spelled it G-W-Y, but it's G-W-I.
Well, anyway, I get it, but I just went with it. So I hope they don't reprint theirs. It's like, we spent $400, we're keeping it. So they're bummed about this, and they're talking about their engagement party and how they know it's going to be super classy because Britney's planning it. What? Who in the world has ever said that?
Yeah,
only not. In the Valley would they say, we know this is going to be super classy because Britney's planning it.
I know it's going to be like a dunk tank.
Have you seen Britney? Nothing on Britney is planned classily.
Yeah.
Not a damn thing. Not even her flip-flops.
Yeah.
From her cuticles to the tip of her hair.
She would not.
She is not classy.
As a standards gay, I would say she's not who you're going to go to. She is the monster fridge of party planning.
So Britney has just had a mommy makeover. So Jasmine's like, how's this going to be an amazing party?
Which, by the way, also annoys me because it's like, why did you take on the responsibility of doing this party, but also you got a mommy makeover, so you're going to be bedridden? Like, I feel like that's like, it's fine, get your surgery, but then don't also be like, I'm going to throw you the party, because it's like, I would kind of want my party planner to be up and at him a little bit, like that way we could like go check out things together. Like, I don't know, that stresses me out a little.
Well, when it's free, you don't get much.
There's other people that could have just done it.
Who?
Anyone? Any
Zach? Did you see his party? Yeah. No, not Zach.
I know he's not a standards gay.
That's it. Who else would have done it?
There could have been.
She's out of people.
Does Melissa not have friends? Why do we have? Where's Melissa's friends?
I don't know. I wonder about that too. Melissa's friends. I mean, I'm never in a relationship and I don't really wonder about relationships, but this show makes me wonder about relationships.
Yeah.
And it really reconfirms my decision to never be in a relationship.
I also, by the way, you know what? I'm going to push back on this idea of like, well, if not Britney, then who? I mean, like, how is that a situation? Literally, Britney should be the last choice.
I just mean, like, there's no one better. I don't mean like, wow, there's no one better than Britney. I just mean there's like literally no one that I would say, wow, they're more, yeah, they're classier.
Never Nia, because Nia would be a trad wife carnival.
Yes.
Too much.
Yeah. And then, it would be like, respect your husband. It's like, well, this is a gay wedding, man. There is no husband here. Okay.
Believe it or not, I think actually Janet would be the right choice, because Janet, I feel like, is the sort of person who would just get really anal about like party planning, because she'd be wanting to do it to promote herself as being a good friend. And so she'd be so into showing how good of a friend she is, especially while she's doing an apology tour, that she would do an amazing party. I think you could really capitalize.
Wow, look, Ben saying Janet's a great party person.
I'm
Janet.
Telling you,
just
I think
get
that
a fucking Janet t-shirt.
I think
just
that
get Janet's face on a t-shirt.
Honestly, if I'm going to choose a party plan by Britney versus Janet, I would choose Janet. And then after Janet, it's like Zach. And then there's Kristen.
Janet would bring Jared, though. She'd be like, oh my God, look, Jared, my co-host, Jared. And he'd be like, hi, everybody, it's me, Jared. No.
Yeah. Well, I mean, whatever. I mean, I think like ultimately I would be a little annoyed if someone's like, I'm going to throw this for you. I'm going to throw this party for you. I'm going to throw this party. Oh, by the way, I just got surgery and I'm bedridden. And I'd be like, well,
yeah, but nobody thinks it's going to be as bad. When you plan that surgery, they tell you, oh, it's nothing, honey, because they've done a million of them. Like when I got my upper bluff, like my eye fat or whatever cut, they were like, oh, you'll be fine in a week. And I planned a birthday, an out-of-town birthday party with all of my friends in Palm Springs. I mean, yeah, I was like, I'm going to, okay, fine. And this will be like, what, a month after this? I showed up there looking crazy. Two giant purple eyes. I didn't look fine for months. No. So you just keep planning shit, you know? You don't care. No. And that's what Brittany did. And also, this is not Brittany's first time at the rodeo. So I think she just remembered it as like, well, it wasn't so bad the last five times I did this, but it was.
Well,
it was bad.
I hope that Jasmine and Melissa are excited about getting some Beauty and the Beast roses under bell jars.
Exactly. Wasn't it her who did that?
Yeah.
It was Brittany, right?
It was, I think, for Brittany's her party.
Yeah, yes, it was her like, wedding.
Her engagement.
I love Beauty party. And the Beast. We're getting married in the castle in Versailles.
R.I.P. Bryson. R.I.P.
Yeah, Peeble Bryson passed.
Yeah.
So sad. I saw him on the news that people in New York are so funny how they do the news. She's like, Peeble Bryson died. What a shame. Beauty and the Beast. I was like, okay, news lady, calm down, all right?
And then she said, oh, fuck off. Okay, someone just, Tussin's got to tell Sue Simmons to calm down. So anyway, they're talking about this party and everything. And so then Zach calls. And Zach is like, oh my God, I'm just like so upset. All right, they call Zach because he texts. He's like, I'm really upset because I'm like dealing with getting my roommate out today. And like, I don't want to cry about it. But it's just like, he basically was like, he's like, was not even going to tell me. And then just like took the monster fridge. And I'm like, dude, no. And like the number one, like, where the fuck are you going to put that? Like, it's like your fiance is not going to let you put it anyway. He probably doesn't want to.
And like you, we all thought monster fridge. Like, I thought it was like.
I thought it was like one of those big garage refrigerators
or a Yeti cooler.
You just throw shit in from the Costco for years at a time.
Yeah, I thought it was some cool thing.
Big bodies, whatever.
Show. It's like it's like a 6 foot tall, slender fridge that you'd see at like a pizzeria or a deli. That he has in his kitchen.
Yeah.
And you see him like, they show like a black and white. It's like a tribute almost. It's like when Dog the Lizard died. It's like they show him like pulling a drink out of it. I was like, this?
Yeah. That's Zach's big emotional arc. Because we really haven't seen any emotion from Zach until now. And it's over a monster fridge.
Yeah. He's like upset about this fridge.
Yeah. And he goes, I mean, your fiance is not going to let you put that anywhere. So he just probably wants to sell it for profit. Whereas it's my thing. Like, I'm the monster fridge guy.
He's made me the monster when he's taken the monster fridge.
That's my thing.
I'm like,
he's like, that's part of my personality. And he's just taking it to sell it.
You know, Zach, when
that's just funny.
When life closes a door on you, it also opens a fridge door for you instead. And that fridge is much better than a monster fridge. Please, like, let's move on.
Please.
And then later on, we find out that actually the roommate also took Zach's TV that Kristen bought him. I'm like, you're not upset about the TV, but you're upset about the monster fridge.
The TV is where you die. Yeah, you touch my TV, you are dead in the ground.
Yeah, the TV is like where you're getting tied to the bed, like in Seven, and you're being left there for a year.
Seriously.
That, you know?
Yeah. So Jasmine's like, you know, cry it out, Zach. You know, get it out of your system. It's going to be okay. I'll call you in a little bit.
She's like, all right, eat the monster fridge.
Really upset about that fridge.
So now Nia and Michelle go to Cafe Shira, which is it's the cafe of power, some would say.
One letter away from I could be on your show.
You know, I loved Shira when I was a kid. Loved it.
You did?
Yeah.
I didn't really know Shira. Was she He-Man's friend?
She was just like He-Man for girls. I was a Shira gay.
I don't even think I was really a He-Man gay. I had a little He-Man doll.
He-Man.
I think my mom tried to make me a He-Man gay because she thought that would straighten me up a little bit. Do you know getting me a doll, but it was a He-Man.
Do you know there's a He-Man movie coming out tomorrow? Isn't that crazy? I saw the preview for it. It looked like the biggest piece of garbage I'd ever seen.
Of course.
Yeah. But that being
said. You know who else was a piece of garbage? My He-Man doll. Not one compliment.
You know who's misunderstood? Thing. Skeletor. Skeletor had body, by the way.
Like, well, we used to call him Skeletor. Now we call him Goldweight.
Now we understand Skeletor, Captain Hook, we understand these people now. I know you were just talking the other day about how you hate these movies about like let the villains be villains. But sometimes the villains are just like chill people have to deal with assholes all the time. Peter Pan.
Yeah, that's true.
What a fucker. And on top of that, He-Man was always, he was pretty dull. I mean, again, sick body, but like he was pretty dull when he was Adam. He's like, oh, I'm Adam. Like no one likes me. I can't do anything. It's like, I would just relax, Adam. Okay, I've had enough out of you.
Yeah, I wasn't a He-Man. I think I just didn't like that I didn't like his name. Like, he, man. Okay, wow, we got it. Really proud of our gender, you know?
They were very
good for you.
They were very creative.
Which restroom are you using? Guess we're not going to need to look at your Instagram, you know, description in your bio for your pronouns or whatever. Well, we got it. He / Matt. Okay. All right, sir. You're very manly. Sorry about your penis.
I have the power. So Nia and Michelle go to Cafe Shira.
He man. My man. He man.
Or as Michelle Lolly would sing it.
He is a He-Man. I did love that He-Man grew up and he was like this big manly man, like trying to make us all feel like little wussy girls. And then he had Captain Sandy hair.
I know. That's my favorite part. He has Captain Sandy hair.
I love when he called Captain Sandy hair He-Man hair.
You know, the funny thing is I loved She-Ra, but I remember not a lick of it. But of course, He-Man, I just had stronger memories of it.
I'm sure you did. You had your dick in your hand probably and your little winky in your hand the whole time you were watching the He-Man.
I was feeling things as a child that I didn't understand.
Yeah.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Nia and Michelle go to Cafe Shira. And Nia's
her son's
like,
really into He-Man. Oh, I know. We know.
We all
were waiting for him to figure that out.
I had one He-Man toy. It was a guy whose face would kept on changing. Like you would rotate it and his face would be a monster. You rotate it, it'd be like a man. Rotate it, be a robot. Ugh. The best. Goals. Talk about being in the closet. It's like, who are you? Are you a man? Or are you secretly a monster?
So this is another scene of Nia enabling her husband. So it's another super fun scene of Nia coming to run defense for her loser fucking husband that she is going to try and villainize everybody else on the show now because she married a piece of shit. So let's all tune in. Yeah. What's she going to do, everybody? So she's like, oh, it took me almost an hour to get here. Okay, divorce. How are you going to use this as a defense mechanism or a defense scene for your husband when he moved you to fucking Santa Clarita? Divorce. If she made me wait for an hour and then this was her excuse and then she started defending her husband, the only answer I would have for her is Santa Clarita.
Yeah.
Well, Danny doesn't drink as much as anyone else. Santa Clarita.
I'm looking up to see where Cafe Shira is.
Well, Danny wants another child. Santa Clarita.
Santa Clarita. You know what's actually really fucked up about this, though? This Cafe Shira is in Beverly Hills. It's in the Golden Triangle, which is, you know, bound by Wilshire and Santa Monica. So that's annoying for anyone to get to. And the fact that production made Nia travel down from Santa Clarita into Beverly Hills, that is not an easy, that is, they don't like her. I'm telling you that right now. We're telling you this. This is some Los Angeles insider traffic understanding, former Uber driver ways. They do not like this woman if they are making her drive from Santa Clarita into Beverly Hills.
It's also just
on a show called The Valley.
It's also just rubbing it in.
Yeah.
Like coming from Santa Clarita to Beverly Hills.
Have you noticed that every time they shoot with like Michelle or Jesse, they just go over the hill to where Michelle and Jesse are. They don't make Michelle and Jesse really go up to the Valley very much. They almost always do it on the other side in West Hollywood, Beverly Hills, which is kind of funny.
Yeah. Even the Valley, it's like, let's get the fuck out of here. The production of the Valley is like, let's shoot here as little as possible. Let's get out of this modern farmhouse hellscape.
I know. Seriously. It's hilarious.
So she's like, yeah, I was late. You know, thanks for being patient with me. It's like, I'm good for the most part. I had a conversation with Jesse. We are finally going to get divorced. So they talk about that a little bit. And Michelle talks about how she cried all day when she left Jesse.
I also cried all day when I just went to aerobics. I cried all day when I went to the grocery store. I basically cry all day all the time. So anyway.
I cried all day until I remembered I was coming to lunch with you. And I thought to myself, well, at least Jesse didn't make me live in Santa Clarita. Maybe he was a good husband after all. Cry. Zaldi coming out of my eye. Zaldi.
I am so glad that he did not threaten me with Santa Clarita.
Jesse will always be my family. So she says that he apologized, she apologized, and hopefully they can get along now. Mm-hmm. And Nia's like, well, it's a lot being a mom of a baby, of 10 babies, but, you know, it's worth it. She's like, you are a Zuber woman. You are a G-man.
Wait a minute.
So she's like, so our group dynamic is very interesting to me when it comes to Daniel, because I sometimes in our group, there's like a double standard because like, you know,
Jesse drinks like crazy, does all these things like in Santa Barbara, and like it's a bother in the moment, but nobody talks about it the next day. And I feel like it's similar with Zach, and I feel like it's the same with Daniel, and he's loud or whatever. But like, whatever, it's like we talk about it for like a week later when Daniel gets on.
I'm like, the difference is that when Jesse gets drunk and mouths off to Michelle, everyone was like, that's fucked up and that's terrible. Like, it wasn't like there was no hiding. I don't know. I'm not excusing Jesse's behavior whatsoever. I think it was abhorrent.
No, but Nia's full of shit here. They did all talk about it, first of all. And she's saying they did talk about it, but then they just let it go the next day. Yeah, because they weren't denying it and making excuses for it. Michelle wasn't running around going, no, Jesse's really a good person.
On top of that, actually, Michelle was, if I remember correctly from last season, because of course I don't remember anything from 5 days ago. If I remember correctly, Michelle was actually saying all Jesse does is get drunk. Right? Wasn't she saying like he spends money and gets drunk? Like,
well, yeah, but they were about to divorce, so they were in a contentious relationship.
But there was no cover up. It wasn't like
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I think we're both saying the same thing. Like, we're both saying the same thing. Nia's running around enabling the behavior, saying it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Whereas everybody else was like, no, that's fucked up. That's a big deal. He can't call you a whore. Like, they all said that.
And as we have mentioned a million times, Danny was also being a dick to Nia when he wasn't drunk at the amusement park. He was being condescending and rude.
Yeah.
So
again, like, it's about his behavior, not his drunkenness.
Yeah.
You dumbass. So Michelle's like, well, do you care if he drinks? And she's like, well, no, that's the thing. I mean, 90% when we drink, and it's not you, Nia. Stop making it a we, because it's not a when you drink, you're no problem. When we drink, you know, it's like 90% of the time, it's fun. Well, guess what? You know, serial killers 90% of the time are watching TV or eating a sandwich or jerking off and not killing people. But the 10% of the time, they're not eating or watching TV or jerking off. They are killing people. Okay. So, you know, worry about the 10%.
I was about to say, do you want to drive in a car whose brakes work only 90% of the time?
Yeah,
you
want to
fly in a plane that flies 90% of the time? 10% matters.
Do you want a condom that only works 90%? Never mind. Am I asking?
What? Yeah. Can I tell you something? I don't want to brag. I kind of feel like I'm a 100% super fun drunk. Like,
you are.
I don't think like anyone has had a story. Maybe over the past, Wes, how old am I now? Like, so I think probably like 25 to 28 years of me drinking. I think it's only been what? Oh, you time to stand up. I think, no, it just wants you to take a stand on something.
I'm not doing that enough.
So I'm not doing that enough.
I'm not taking enough of a stand. Go back to He-Man.
I'm about to say, Ronnie.
Go back to He-Man.
Ronnie has just become my grandmother gay. So wrong that I don't want to take a stand at this moment.
So wrong? Okay, go ahead. No, so, you're a fun drunk, and nobody's ever complained in all of these years. I mean, I will say you're meaner when you're drunk, and I love it.
Yeah, but like I'm not.
You've told me things about myself when you're drunk.
I have.
Oh, yeah. But I love it because I know it's been inside of you this whole time.
I had no idea.
Like, it feels like therapy.
Oh, that's so funny. I had no idea that I was doing
for
that.
You. Just kidding.
I had no idea that I was
just kidding.
That I was laying into you when I was drunk.
No, you don't lay into me, but you're like your filter, you know, it takes your filter off.
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, I think it's fun. I love it. I'm always encouraging you to be meaner.
Either way, I mean, I think having like less filter when you're drunk, that's fine. It's more like the belligerence.
Yeah.
Like I'm not like
you're not belligerent.
I don't think I've actually ever been belligerent when I've been drunk. And I think like I understand every now and then some people will get belligerent. But like if someone's at a 10% belligerence rate, that's a problem. Because honestly,
that's
like
a big rate.
It's a really high rate. If I find, especially as I've gotten older, if someone's belligerent even like once or twice, I'm just not gonna get drunk with that person anymore. Because I don't if you know it's there, you can't really get drunk because you don't know when is that. Are we having a 10% moment right now? It's a real issue. And so for Nia to be like, 10% of the time. And I know like whatever she's estimating, even if it's 1%, like, I don't know if belligerence, the fact that there's even a name for it. That's the thing. The fact that there's a name for Dark Side Danny means it happens enough. It happens enough that there's a nickname. That's not acceptable to me. You know,
and she would stop this if she just stopped trying to make it okay. Because people are now arguing with it because they're both going over the top and being like, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? It was a big deal. You got shit faced. You yelled at your wife in front of everybody for hours and hours and hours and hours, for days and days. You ruined an entire vacation with your terrible couplehood.
Yeah.
And now you're acting like, well, everybody else sucks. Yeah, we're watching Bravo. Everybody sucks on Bravo. And that's how sad it is that you suck this badly that we have to waste time on your Planet of the Apes husband for this long. That's saying something about you, you know?
Yeah. And you know what's also so obnoxious about this, what she's doing here, is it really discredits, you know, the intellect. And I don't like to use that word with this cast, but it does it does discredit the intellect of these adults. These are adults who are in their 30s, if not in their 40s, who understand drunkenness. They understand behavior. They understand how, like, things. I don't think that they're doing this purely to drive a storyline. They see it the way we see it. Like, people are not, like, people may be idiots in life, but they also, like, on a certain level, people sort of understand behavior. And we all know a bad drunk versus a not bad drug. We just know it when we see it. And Nia trying to be like, no, you guys are all crazy. Like, it's a double standard. It's like, no, lady, enough.
Yeah.
Put your trap life dress away.
Enough.
And go back.
But everybody does it. Everybody does it.
So, she's full of shit. And I have to credit Nia because Michelle. I have to credit Michelle because Michelle did not agree with her. And she didn't do anything except stay robotic. I mean, it's like thanking an Alexa for like giving you the weather report.
I was like,
but still. Like she was just like, I will not agree with you, but I will not make you uncomfortable either because I know you have to drive 6 hours to get home.
I will just focus on memories of Gymnastics.
Yeah.
So now we go over to Brittany's house. She's in bed with Cruz, and she's got like all of her like accoutrements, her recovery accoutrements there. She's got like little claws and stuff that she can grab things with.
She's like, look, honey, mommy's got a boo-boo. You just hear boo. Boo, Tex, get away from my window. Sorry, that's your father, but I also got a real boo-boo. My boobies hurt.
So here comes Brandon, and he's like, hey, I can't find your pills. She's like, so we don't have pills. He's like, yeah, so your doctor will have to call them in to the 24-hour pharmacy, and then I can go pick them up. So she tells us,
the only thing that I had asked for Brandon to do was to make sure that he picked up my pain medication because I was going to be completely out, and he waited until it was too late and just drives me crazy because it's like the thing that I need the most right now because this is a very painful recovery.
I'm like, this piece of shit couldn't get his girlfriend's pain medication? What? But I mean, that is, you're fired.
I knew when he showed up to that free dinner that they got for her influencer deal or whatever at that steak place, and he showed up in cargo, like dirty cargo pants and a t-shirt.
Yeah,
that this man was no good. And you think, like, that's not a good thing to judge somebody on, but it is, you know, books, covers. Well,
he also kind of
use them.
He also kind of gives the energy of like oafy sidekick in like a cartoony mafia movie where it's like, hey, did we take care of Vinny? He's like, Vinny, I thought you meant Ginny. I killed Ginny. Oh man, what are you doing?
Oh, Maron.
Maron.
He was very like Turtle from Entourage.
Yeah.
Turtle vibes. Mm-hmm. He came on to social media and he was like, someone was like, what a loser. He can't even pick up the pills for his girlfriend. He's like, I live 3 hours away. And by the time she told me about it, everything was already closed. So I tried. So I don't know.
Okay, Missy Grant.
But I will believe Brittany on this one.
Yeah.
But also, don't count on somebody who lives in Robles. Not that people in Paso Robles are too stupid to pick up pills. What?
Paso
Robles. I don't know. Because they pronounce it. They just make up their own. Pronounce it because he didn't even say Roble. What did he say? He's like, I'm from Robles. Didn't he say Robles?
I would call it Soro.
He's like, I'm from Robles.
I call it Soro, the end of pass at the front of Robles.
Soro.
Comes that Rob.
But don't count on somebody long distance to get your local pills. Like, you need to get your pills. You know what I mean?
I agree, but I'm still going to blame him because I feel like, whatever, you make
it. Why blame him too? I'm just saying, when it comes to pain pills, you don't count on a man that you don't know to get your pain pills. Pain pills are extremely important.
Yeah.
Whether or not you've had surgery.
I agree. I feel like these are two not smart people trying to coordinate a very simple task, and it was not going to work out. But I'm going to blame him more because I feel like he's the one who's actually able to move around.
Yeah. No, I blame him too. I'm just saying, like, Brittany, take your power back. Like, part of being away from Jax is like taking power back, and part of having power is having pain pills. Come on, don't hurt yourself, is what I'm saying.
I was going to say, the one thing that Jax would have been good at would have been getting those pills. He's never going to let it sit there for too long.
I would tell anybody, don't ever count on a man, but especially Brittany, because we see how Brittany picks. Like, Brittany doesn't have a picker. You just don't rely on a man.
Yeah. You know? But good news, everyone. her little drainage.
My ball sacks are getting full. Look at them. So she whips out these little sacks that collect all of her juices. Scrotums. And he's like, ew. He's like, gross. She's like, yeah. He's like, is that blood? And he's like, no, it's just all stuff that comes out of your body. Like, grains comes out of there. I don't know, butts, fats, all sorts of stuff. Oh, my God. Look, there's a little bit of chicken wing in there.
She really did say, ew, that one has a chunk in it.
We're either going to get to, we're either going to have to flush these, or we're going to have to get some ranch to dip them into. Am I right?
Maybe I should have Zuli come drain this one. I was like, I think Brandon should do it. He's like, oh, it's gross. He's like, no, I don't want you to do it because I still want you to be attracted to me. I'm like, if he is not, this is your man and he messed up your pills. If he does not take care of those lipo-filled sacks, he's out of here. Like, he needs to take
care. I wouldn't trust this man with my ball sacks.
So this,
I think, was a test because she goes, maybe I should have Zuli come in. And he goes, yeah, Zuli's here, so she may as well do it. And just lays back on the bed.
He's like literally sitting right there.
Lazy, what a lazy fuck.
Yeah, like take care of your woman. So,
oh, this just gets worse and worse for Brittany. Oh, my gosh. So that'll come in a later scene. Congratulations, you've reached the end of part one of a two-part recap. For part two, go look for the recap that says part two. See you over there, suckers.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
She Answered the Call. It's Adia Paul.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Our Way is the Amber Way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the Right Foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We Never Miss Her Call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
You'll Never Hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a Spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's Share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's Get Real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, What, Why, Where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
Have a kebab with Kay Rob.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's Get Savage with Laura Wildman.
In the Study with a Candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're Ride or Die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a Whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always Killing It, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger That, it's Marlis Rogers.
The Incredible Edible Matthews Sisters.
She Eases Our Woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
She's the Lady of the House, it's Rachel Sharouse.
There's a Chance of Meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's Our Princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the Queen Bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We Cannot Tell a Lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, Out of a Cannon, Anthony.
Please Don't Stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's Take Off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a Pose, it's Tori Rose.
She Ain't No Shrinkin' Violet Couture. We love you guys.